to stop it from coming, because Jesus, God had said that he was on his way. And they tried to mess up the genealogy of all of them when they tried, when they was down in Egypt trying to get them to mix and mingle. This is why the Hebrew language is so difficult sometimes to understand, because it's almost an isolated language. People speak Hebrew and, I mean, Greek and Latin and all this other stuff and Spanish, but you hear tell of very few people walking around speaking Hebrew, because it was a language that to me was invented to isolate them and set them apart for the work that God had for them to do. God makes a way, and God cares for, and God will protect the person who places his life under God's care. But the danger are going to come. Point number one, the first danger, Herod's plot to find Jesus. You see that in verse 12. Just got 3 points on a closing. Herod was a king with a great big ego. He didn't want anybody to threaten him. He just let him live. Need to remember that Brother Herod become upset when he heard about a child being born who was supposed to be king of the Jews. Had no way of knowing that the king had been born. When the wise men stopped by the palace to find out where the child was born, I don't know how he responded to it, but to me, they went by the palace because he was the king. And if the king was born of the Jews, it should have been in the king's house. Help me, Holy Ghost. But the king knew nothing about the king's son being born. And so you can see how shocked he would be finding out that a king was born of the Jews and it was not in his house. And he knew nothing about it. I watched a little movie about this a while back. And since Herod didn't know, he went to the priest. And I mentioned this the other week, that the priest found the scroll and found where Michael's 5 and 2, where it says that he would be born in a little town called Bethlehem. They told them that, and Herod informed the wise men about where he was to be born. Herod wanted to find him. But when you do what God would have you to do, you're going to run into problems. Don't you look at me funny. Because if you do what God have for you to do, you're going to tick somebody off. And they're going to love you right on, they think, but they're just not going to like what you're doing. So they listened to Brother Herod and they found out where the king was born. And they had been following a star all this time. And I just tell you that it was not the next week after he was born that they were there. Because when you read your Bible, it says when they got to where Joseph and Mary was, they went in the house. So this tells me that some time had transpired and they were in another place of living. They were not in the manger, is what I'm trying to say. They went to find the little baby and they found him where the star stopped and they found it. See, when God is leading you and you following him, Yeah. Uh-huh. He'll tell you where and when and how much and how long. That's why we need to stay in touch with him. So Herod had told them, said, well, I'm going to send you. And this is the way Baggett let back tell Baggett this. He said, I know where he is, what town he's in. Said, but I tell you what you do. Said, you go and you look for him and you find him. And when you find him, you come back and tell me where he is, so I can go and worship him too. See, if you are not serving this God, a lie is nothing for you to tell. You will tell a lie if you know, if you think it can get you to do to the place where you want to be. So, but they went and they found him. Now, what we're talking about is the dangers that keep coming up in this life of this little baby that we call Jesus as he's growing up. The wise men, after they did what they was going to do, they were miraculously warned by God. But God did not warn them of what Herod was going to do. See, that's one thing that's wrong with some of us. We want to know everything about everybody. And there's some things you just don't need to know. Because number one, excuse my grammar, it ain't none of your business. You don't need to know everything. And when you're serving this God, he will let you know what you need to know. Everybody don't need to know everything. There can be an overload of information. You can know too much. And that's what's wrong with some of us. We think we know too much. So they went and found the baby, but they were warned. And I keep getting interrupted in my mind, because a lot of times when something happened in the story that we read, somebody had gone to sleep. But they wasn't in church. They had gone to sleep. It said they were warned, and God actually told them to go home another way. And I do believe, since he had to tell them that, it was their intent to be obedient to King Herod and go back and tell him where the baby was, because they believed he wanted to go there for the same reason that they did, to worship him. But his methods, he was not going to do that. God didn't tell them what Herod was going to do. He just told them that they needed to go another way. After they had gone and worshiped the king, King Jesus, they had been there and done what they had been on a journey to do for a long time. See, danger comes sometime, and you don't even know that the danger is there. Jesus was not aware of this as a little baby, as a child. But then some of the real intelligent people would say, well, he knew everything. But he was a man. I forget what that word is, but I know what it says. It says he's as much man as he is God, and as much God as he is man. So he fit, and nobody else have ever been or ever will be like that. When men or women make up their mind to serve God and to worship God, you have a compelling drive to worship God and allow nothing else to stop you from worshiping him. Those wise men had a desire to serve this king. They had seen his star, and they had come to worship him. And my question to you this morning that you need to answer to God, have you seen his star? If you have seen his star, has it made a difference in your life? Have you left from where you were and started towards where the star is to serve the king? You need to be on the move. You need to be trying to find this baby called Jesus the Christ. Anyone who diligently seeks God's son can expect to be met and directed by God. These men were looking for the Son of God, and they were met and directed by God. God told them what to do and where to go, because they were in tune with him. And I stop by to tell you that when you're in a situation and you don't know where to go or what to do, if you are a child of God, you just need to open yourself up to God and say, God, here I am. And one of my favorite statements, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. God, will you help me? And when you surrender yourself to God and you are seeking after him, he will provide. Don't ask me how, because I don't know how. I just know what he's done for me. He have provided for me. And don't y'all tell my wife this. She's been gone 2 weeks today. 2 weeks today. I turned the stove on twice, maybe. Twice. And I know y'all, I'm saying don't tell her, but some of y'all gonna tell. I know you gonna tell. But one of those times I remember what I cooked. I cooked 2 eggs, fried 4 slices of bologna, made me 2 sandwiches with some bread. And I ate it. And I turned it on one other time to warm something. The other time I've been warming, I've been putting it in the microwave. But I'm worried about whether I'm going to gain weight. So you see, we can do what we have to do if we just put our mind to it. When these men were diligently seeking this baby called, this person called the King of the Jews, and they were diligently seeking him, so they did whatever they had to do to find him. And then the latter part of that is the wise men obeyed God. If you obey God, and you do like God wants you to do, everything's going to work out all right. You might not understand it. You might not know how it happened, but it'll come out all right. They went home another way, and we hear nothing else about them. See, sometimes we want to be all over the whole book, and God just wants you in 1 or 2 chapters. Do what God would have for you to do, and then get on out of the way and keep living for God. Some theologians believe that those men, they wondered how did they get to know as much as they did. And somebody has said that there was an old prophet by the name of Daniel that had been in that government. And he had told them about the king that was supposed to come. And they believed what Brother Daniel told them. So you see, God could be using you the same way. I know that right now, that doesn't fit in the message. But just because you're not involved in all of it, don't try to stop it because you're not involved. Those wise men just came along and did what God would have for them to do. And here we are here today, better than 2,000 years, talking about them. So they had to have had a reason for what they were doing. They went the way that God had directed them to go rather than going back and obeying the king. See, sometimes you need to just forsake everything and everybody else and do what thus saith the Lord. You don't have to get their permission. You just do what thus saith the Lord. And if you do what God have directed you to do, God will be your protector. Can't anybody get to you when God is trying to protect you? God directed and protected them, and God will direct and protect you when you do what thus saith the Lord. When you follow God's plan, God will protect you, and you won't have anything to worry about. If you won't to be protected by God, put him first. And let everybody else follow after him. Point number 2. The second danger was Herod's attempting to destroy Jesus. That covers most of our scripture, verses 13 through 18. Joseph was warned to flee into Egypt. Brothers and sisters, he was warned because God knows all and he rules over all. God knew Herod's thought and he knew Herod's heart. But no one else did. Herod's acts were so terrible and wicked that he shared them with no one else. See, there's stuff in your mind that nobody else knows. Can I just tell you that God already knows? And he doesn't have to ask anybody. He just knows because he's God. God knew and he moved to protect the life of his son. And what he had Joseph and Mary to do, it was not uncommon for Jews to do in that day and time. They flee into Egypt. It said in studying for this, said there was an Egyptian city by the name of Alexandria that had over 1 million Jews living in it. In as immigrants, they were living there. It was a whole bunch of them there. And I'm already there. I can't say I'm getting there. I'm getting, Brother Glenn Donovan would say, chronologically inclined, but I'm getting old, so I remember some stuff. It didn't happen to me, but I've seen videos. And I've listened to people talk that lived here. There were segments in that city in Alexandria that were basically Jewish. Just like when in the Great Migration in the United States. If you were from Baker, you went to New Jersey or Washington or Maryland. You went to one of those three places if you left Baker and went north. Why? Because there was somebody from Baker already there. So this is what happened here. They could move about and be free and make friends if they went to where other people were. And this is what happened to them. God's grace, the grace of God, can be seen in the movement of Joseph and Mary into Egypt. He led them to flee into a country where they could move about and be free, and Jesus could grow up as a normal child, as normal as possible, being the Son of God. The believer can rest in God's knowledge and providence because God knows where he wants you to be for what he has for you to do. You might not think that God has his hand on you, but if you stay in the word of God, you cannot get out from under the hand of God. His hand will be on you, because if you are doing his will, you need his direction. And Joseph and Mary was doing the will of God. God had to thank an awful lot of those two people to allow his son to be born and put into their care. Well, I stop by to tell you, whatever God have for you to do, he thinks a lot of you too, because he have anointed you to do just what he has anointed you to do. And can't anybody else do what you're going to do like God wants you to do what he has for you to do? You might, if you were here today preaching this message, you might preach a different, but you couldn't do it like I'm doing it. Because you're not me and I couldn't do it like you do. This is why we need to study this word, so we can stay with what God would have for us to do. Amen. Some books, they said, don't say how long he stayed. They said they lived in Egypt for 6 or 7 years. And then they come out of Egypt. And I wrote this here a little different than I did the rest of it, because I wanted to make sure I said this here. believers are in Egypt, yet not of Egypt. You are in the world, but you're not of the world. You don't need to let the world get in you. If you let the world get in you when you come to Christ, you'll bring the world with you. And you'll come and wreak havoc within God's house until somebody let you know that what you're doing is not what God would have you to do. They stayed there as long as God allowed them to stay for the purpose that they were staying. Jesus went into Egypt and he came out of Egypt. This is why, brothers and sisters, if you go someplace that's not of God, you ought to come out. Help me, Holy Ghost, just like you went in. If you go in cash as a Christian, you ought to come out of cash as a Christian. You ought not to come out a drunk Christian. Amen, light. You ought to come out just like you went in, and you ought to be a little bit better because you have fought the resistance. You have resisted what you used to do. So us as believers need to be called out of the world. But you still must live in the world, but you must not allow the world to live in you. You have to have on the repellent against what the world would have you to do. You have to have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. So therefore the things of the world will not be attracted to you. You can be all around it. It'll be like water on a duck's back. It'll hit you and roll off. The things that used to get your attention won't get it anymore. Because you have the love of God down on the inside of you. Joseph, when it was time to come out of Egypt, he obeyed God. I keep going back to this guy, and a lot of people don't give him no credit for doing anything. But he was a man among men. He stood out because he obeyed God, married a woman that was pregnant and had a child that was not his, but yet he married her anyway, being obedient to the word of God. See, sometimes you have to do stuff that you normally would not do, but if you're listening to God, you must be obedient to the word of God, for he said in his word, I will not leave you nor forsake you. So therefore, if God said it, whether I believe it or not, I need to walk on with it and walk in faith. See, sometimes we think we need to, but we got to believe everything that God said. No, you got to live through some of it before you believe it, that he will not leave you nor forsake you. You can read that and get it in your head all you want, but until the rubber meets the road, where you have to walk through it and know that God's with you, nobody else is with you. You can look back and say, God, your word is true because I lived through it. Joseph obeyed God. Back over in Matthew chapter 1, verse 24 and 25, he was asleep again, and God came to him and told him, said, you marry that same girl because what's in her is of the Holy Ghost. See, sometimes by man's standard, you'll be crazy, you'll be an idiot, but if you listen to God, you have a higher calling, and you know you don't have to worry. Your word, the word of God, will take you farther than the word of man. If you're obedient to God, somewhere it says obedience is better than sacrifice. If you obey God, you won't have to sacrifice that much. You'll just keep walking, and God will provide you. He will deliver you from the terrible danger that's in there. God delivered Joseph from the danger because he woke him up and told him, said, get out of here, go someplace else. And after he got to where God told him to be, he stayed there for a little while and he messed up again. He went to sleep. When he went to sleep, God told him, said, you got to go again, you got to move. And see, that's one thing I love about God. You don't become stationary. You have to become movable. Your name is Macedonia Missionary Baptist this church. If you don't go out in mission, you're not doing anything. You ought to be Macedonia stationary because you're not doing anything. You ought to get out, go and do something. God, don't let you stay at the same place all that time. When you're working for him, you got to be moved, because God is not a God that stays at the same place in your life. If you stayed at the same place, you'd always be a baby in diapers and eating formula, but you don't stay there.
Amen.
Well, when you're obedient to God, no matter what the danger is, he'll get you through it. And if you're listening to God, when he gets you through it, you'll look back and wonder how I made it over. But you made it over because I will trust in the Lord. Not trusting in yourself nor your ability to do things. You have to trust in him. Well, Joseph and Mary did all this and they didn't do any grumbling. And I found that hard to believe. And I had to put baggage in this. And I said, they didn't grumble at all. And to me, I found two reasons that I would have grumbled. I would have said, God, this is your child. You decided to put him in my family. So now you tell me why I got to keep moving. Why don't you just stop them other people that want to mess with us? That makes sense to me. Might not make sense to nobody else, but the other night when I was doing this, it made sense to me. God, why I got to move? I ain't doing. I'm doing what you said for me to do. And don't y'all look at me funny. Y'all been like that with somebody too. God, I'm not doing anything. Why do I, on my job, this person won't do what they're supposed to do, and the boss come tell me to do it, and this joker getting paid more than me? What I got to do? God will put you in situations where you will have to show somebody that you are listening to him. And then I said another one, that since God, since you said everybody couldn't do this, so I'm somebody special, I got to do this, so why can't I be somebody special and that other person have to do this, have to leave? I'm okay where I am. But God said, get up and move. Somebody got a good job, making good money. Then something else come along. My mind goes to Brother Simpson. He was working, doing good here. Had bought a home, expecting to sell down. But then God said, move. He come in my office. We talked about it several times, and I must not, didn't give him the right answer. If I would have given him the right answer, he probably would have still been here. He wouldn't have been listening to God. God said, move. Try to figure out reasons why he shouldn't move. I don't know what Brother Joseph and Sister Mary did, where they tried to figure out that they should have stayed in Egypt. But being obedient to the word of God, they got up and they left. Brothers and sisters, sometimes you don't understand why. It's not yours to ask why. It's yours just to do what thus saith the Lord. If you're obedient to God, the pay on the other end is going to be so great that you won't have room to put it in your storehouse. Why would God cause us to go through all this stuff? So much pain and trauma. And God expected Joseph and Mary to believe without questioning him. And they did, because they just got up and they just left. And they went to do what thus saith the Lord. See, brothers and sisters, sometime we got to kick doubt to the curb. We got to say, for God I live. And for God I die. I'm going to do this because God said it. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I'm trusting in God. And when I trust in God, everything will be all right. Listen to me. When you don't know where to go, I can tell you a position you ought to be in. And I thought about that this morning. when I got on my knees back there to pray, I keep telling y'all every now and then, when you're talking to God, you need to put yourself down on your knees so you can't look around and you can't talk to anybody or you can't be thinking about anybody. And Lord have mercy, every now and then you need to get there. And then sometime, if you can't get down on your knees, some of us got arthritis and we can't get on our knees, you ought to sit down in a chair, turn the lights off in the room, turn the television off in the room, and just sit right there and talk to God, and God will stop to see about you. I don't know about y'all. It might be because I'm scared of the dark, but when I turn the lights off, I want to talk to God. I don't want no television on. Don't want nothing else playing. But then I just turn the lights off, and I said, if somebody's in here, I can't see them, and they can't see me. I said, but God sees us all, and I just talk to God. And see, sometime you need to talk to him out loud. You need to get in a place where you can just talk to God and hear yourself talking to him. But God will stop to see about you. Point number three, there was a danger that he had not counted on. Herod died. And see, all the devils that are around are going to die in your life. All you got to do is just stay with God. But then there will be another devil. This devil was named Archelaus. He was the man's son. And see, sometime when the dad is wrong, the son is the same way, because he's a chip off the block. See, sometime you don't think your children are watching you. You better be keep walking with God and knowing that those little eyes and those little ears are always working, especially when you think they are not. This son was a bad king. They dethroned him. They didn't let him stay in long because he was bad. And Joseph was on his way back to Bethlehem. But see, when you're walking with God, God will stay in touch with you. You can't move without God knowing where you are. Joseph on his way back to the place where they had been before. But then God warned him and stopped him and sent him to a little place in Galilee called Nazareth. And it fulfilled the prophecy of the Lord. It said he would be a Nazarene and there would be a light on that coast. And Jesus Christ is that light. He fulfilled that. He was a Nazarene and he was a prophet and he is king. See, danger will come at you. Archelaus, that's point number three. The danger was the son of the king, Archelaus, who was the son of Herod. Herod died and his kingdom was divided between four of his sons. And Archelaus got the area of Judea and Samaria where Joseph and them would have been going. But God warned him and sent him to a little place, I told you, in Galilee called Nazareth. And he lived and grew up there. See, but when you're walking with God, the danger come, but God is in control of the danger. All you got to do is just stay with God and walk with him, and God will provide just what you need. Well, I'm at my conclusion now, y'all. Why do we celebrate Christmas? We celebrate the hope God gives us through his son. Hope for today, for tomorrow, and for eternity. God doesn't offer us danger free or hurt free lives, but he does offer us hope filled life through our faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, God got something in mind for you. No matter what you're going through, I promise you, if you stay with him, God will provide just what you need. Listen, on that night when the Christ child was born, that's night when the shepherds heard a song of angels, a host calling, caroling near. A deaf man turned and slumbered in his sleep and dreamed that he could hear. See, God got something for you. A deaf man can dream of hearing, because this God that we serve, that night when the cow saw slept, a mother and a child, humbly on a humble fold, a cripple turned and twisted his limb and dreamed that he was whole. See, God healed some people because this child was born that night when over the barn, the baby and tender mother rose to lean on a loathsome leopard smile and sleep
and dreamed that he was clean. See, God can do things just because this baby came that night when the mother's breast, the little king held secure. Harlow slept a happy sleep and dreamed that she was pure, because this Jesus, when he came, could take away sin. That's what we got to look at. That night when the manger lay, the Holy One who come to save, a man turned in the sleep of death and dreamed that he was not in a grave, because he said, he come to save me and to take me back. Well, I asked myself a question. What shall be my gift to him? What shall I give him? Poor as I am, nothing that I have. If I were a shepherd, I'd give him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I'd do what wise men do. Well, since I'm not one of them, what can I do? I can only do one thing. I can give him my heart. Give him my heart. And give him my heart. And do that every day. Because with God, for God I live, and for God I die. There are some greatest things that I want you to think about. My greatest loss, if this Savior would not have come, would have been the loss of my soul. My greatest gain, because this Savior came, Christ as my Savior. My greatest object is to glorify God. My greatest pride is a crown of glory. My greatest word is to win souls for this Christ. My greatest joy, the joy of God's salvation. My greatest inheritance is heaven and glories. My greatest victory is over death through Christ. See, because this Christ came, I got some greatest things in my life. I got the greatest Savior that's in the world. I'm going to spend eternity with him. I'm going to be with the greatest people in the world. I'm going to be with the only God that there is. Because this baby came, danger may come and danger may go, but this God that I serve will get me out of all of it. I'm not worried. You can take my life, but you can't take my soul. You can do all things to me. You can hurt me. That's all right. But my Savior is coming back. And when he come back, if I'm in the grave, I'm going to rise first. If I'm not, after those that have risen out of the grave, I'm going to bow to cloud and I'm going to go back. Don't know where I have wings or not, but at the power, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. If he decide that I need wings to fly, he'll give me wings. If he decide that I just go up, I just go up. But there's power in the name of Jesus. I don't worry about the dangers that face me, because this God that I served is in control of the danger. The devil may try, but God does not try. God does whatever he said. If you receive my son, you receive me. Lord, have mercy. God, you've been good to me. And I just got to tell you, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. And I love you for what you've done. But what you're going to do is an amazing thing. I dare you. I dare you to trust in God. Trust in him. No matter what the danger may be, God is an awesome God. I told y'all, I know I said it been some time, when y'all be singing, I look like I don't be paying any attention. But that one, I've been trying to do this. That song says, I can only imagine. I can't. I'm sorry. I can't imagine. My mind won't go that far. But I know it's going to be better than anything that I've ever had to happen in my life. Just to be in the presence of God. Just to be in the presence of God. I can only imagine. God's an awesome God. Brothers and sisters, and you don't have to wait until you get to heaven to get in the presence of God. All you got to do is surrender yourself and submit yourself to Him, and you can get in His presence. We have the greatest privilege in the world. We can come into the presence of Lord God Almighty. We can come into His presence. All you got to do is just serve Him and worship Him and praise Him, and you can get into His presence. But you can't fool Him. You got to be serious. You got to have surrendered. And most of us don't want to surrender. Well, y'all might have, but I didn't. You know, because we want to be our own and do our own thing. But when you serve this God, there will be danger after danger. The wise men didn't know what King Herod would have done to them. Because when he didn't, they did not go back and tell him. He went and he started killing babies. All children that were under 2 years of age, especially males, and he killed them. He killed them. We saw something like this on television the other week over in Afghanistan or somewhere. Some guys went into schools and just killed kids. See, people are doing evil things. You face a danger when you leave here today. You don't know the danger that's out there. That's why we need to pray to the all-seeing God. The God that's everywhere. What's that big word? Omnipresence. He's everywhere before you can get there. I don't pray for God to go to the hospital because He's already there. Don't pray for Him to go to my house because He's already there. We need to trust this God to remove the dangers that's in our way. And they are there. But this is what Joseph and Mary had to face. Danger after danger. And they were prepared to go through this because of this God that they serve. Brothers and sisters, and you must be prepared too. I was listening to somebody on television the other day, and they said the American Christians are spoiled brats. Because we have it so easy. Nobody does anything to us because we believe what we believe. And we are going farther and farther in the closet because of our belief. And we need to be coming out. Everybody else coming out the closet. Christians are going in when you ought to be coming out. Telling the world about this Savior that we serve. I'm through. Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus, this is your time. Might seem like it's okay right now, but stuff is just waiting to come your way. And you need to be prepared for it. You need a Savior. You need a Savior. You need someone to go your bond. Christ have already paid the price, but we have not received it. Will you come to Christ just as you are today? Don't try to change anything. Just come. Christ will change you because you make one step, he'll come towards you. But you need to come to Christ. You need to submit yourself to Him. Will you come? Will you come to Christ today and allow Him to save your soul? You have to want Him to. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come to Christ today? God bless you.